I hope you all are having a great time in Washington, D.C. Right? Nice places to visit. Gastronomical delight in the good sense. Today I'm going to talk about this experiment which we conducted a few years back, focusing on integrating cover crops in high tunnels. High tunnels are getting more and more popular in Midwest and other states, as we heard from New Mexico as well. Growers have a lot of interest in investing. And it's a different set of challenges when you are growing your vegetables inside the high tunnel. High tunnel for growers in the Midwest has been an exceptional source, especially when it comes to season extension. You are talking about 4 to 5 weeks of extension. Usually, growers would plant outside mid-May, but with the high tunnel, you can plant by middle of April. So that's a great advantage. It extends the fall production as well, so not only on the spring end, but on the fall side as well. Better control of crop growth, enhanced fruit quality, and definitely less diseases because there's no rain that's happening inside the high tunnel. For successful production of vegetables inside high tunnel, certainly these are very important key factors, thinking about the soil quality, about nutrient management, and also about pests and diseases. We do have challenges in high tunnel given the fact that growers would always want to grow tomatoes in there. Now, it's a lucrative crop. It's a crop that brings in money, and so every year there'll be tomatoes in there. So how can we diversify and add another crop component? So how about adding cover crops inside high tunnels? The advantages certainly builds organic matter. I would not stray to the end and say and call it crop rotation, as I have a question mark here, because it's not crop rotation. You're just adding another crop between a tomato crop. Definitely integrating a cover crop inside the high tunnel will improve soil physical, chemical, and biological properties, and I'll show you some numbers in terms of soil microbial biomass. Does it change when you add a cover crop? And, of course, nutrient management also. So if you could add a legume, for example, hairy vetch or some kind of clover, it will definitely add to the benefit, because now you have some nitrogen built in there. The cover cropping window, this is also a very important question to address, because a cover crop should be such that it integrates well with our production system, especially when we have a very short growing season in the Midwest, and in this case, Iowa. So in Iowa, somewhere from mid-April to almost like mid or end of September, your high tunnel is occupied with a vegetable crop, mostly tomatoes. So is there a possibility that we can add a cover crop in the spring, right before you plant your tomato, or could be after the harvest is over, sometime in the fall? And I purposefully put this overlap here. This is not because of any graphical issue, because you would see the cover crop would take, if seeded by mid-March, take about 1.5 months. So you are kind of pushing into the tomato production, that earliness aspect. So there has to be some compromise. So growers might have to delay on planting early, because the cover crop is still growing in there. You want that additional biomass, you want that weed suppression that comes with the cover crops. So this is certainly still a challenge, and we need to focus on of what's the best alternative when it comes to cover crop in high tunnels. So in this study, this is a 30 by 96 high tunnel. That's a typical size of high tunnel which the growers use in Iowa and the Midwest. And we divided the high tunnel into four blocks. So it's a randomized complete block design with four replications. The treatments we were interested in was using yellow mustard cover crop, an oilseed radish cover crop, or a control, which means there is no cover crop before you plant your tomatoes. It's a randomized complete block design. We have four replications, so the treatments go this way, and the reps go this. And you see the twines in there to make sure that we have the alleyway to walk around. The cover crops were seeded in the fall of the previous year. So no fancy incorporation or drill. We simply broadcasted the cover crop, and we used a rake to just rake it in. We did add three sprinklers in there, because cover crops, in order to make sure that they establish well in the spring, you need to add that sprinkler and that moisture. So this was the cover crop was seeded in March. It was on the 10th of March. Sometime end of April, this is what that high tunnel looked like. So this is the yellow mustard cover crop going in there. We have a control plot here. You can see the oilseed radish behind. So a significant amount of biomass is generated, primarily because there is heat early in the season, and also the day length is increasing. So we have quite a lot of growth in terms of cover crop biomass. This is another shot of cover crop here, oilseed radish, and I always make sure I make that joke that it's very important that you have a cover crop that is tall and big like this, because if your wife is angry with you, you can always hide in there. So there is an escape. So the cover crops were flail mowed. You can see the amount of biomass present, so we had to flail mow the cover crop, and then we used a Harvard tiller and then just till the cover crop under. Now, let's look at some data here comparing the biomass that is generated between yellow mustard and oilseed radish. There is significant difference. Oilseed radish, about 5,500 pounds per acre, whereas yellow mustard is close to 9,000 pounds per acre. So not double, but close to double. So a significant amount of increase in biomass when you use yellow mustard versus oilseed radish. Both were kind of seeded at the same rate, but we are finding better results with yellow mustard. What does the weed biomass look in there? What's the situation with the weeds when you have a cover crop, a dense cover crop like that? And we do see a benefit of having a spring cover crop. Oilseed radish, this is weed biomass, dry weight in pounds per acre. You will see oilseed radish and yellow mustard were successful in keeping the weed population down as compared to the control plot where there was no cover crop. And I'll show you some pictures, but a relatively higher amount of weeds in those plots. What did the plots look like? So this is the control plot, a lot of purslane. We had some red root pigweed, but you could see what the control plot would look like if there was no cover crop present. So the high tunnel is benefiting the vegetables plus the weeds as well. They like to grow in that environment too. This was a sample taken for biomass sampling in the cover crop plot. This is from the yellow mustard plot. You can see the amount of weed pressure in there. And that's why you see a very low amount of weeds, because the cover crops are kind of smothering the weeds, so no weeds at all in those plots. This is the production season. During the production season, pictures taken, we had the edge rows are the guard rows, and we have one row in each treatment in the middle so that there is no confounding effect of, because we are working at in a very smaller dimension, so we need to make sure that the data row always falls in the middle. So this is a data row, this is a data row, and this is a data row. There are many guards, so there are more guard rows than the data rows, but we had to do that. How does the cover crop affect the soil pH, since focusing on the physical attributes and the chemical attributes here? Between the three treatments, this was taken at the end of the second year, so this is at the time of seeding. pH was well within the range of vegetable production, 7.6.6 to 7.1. We took some data in the mid-season, not much of a change. At the time of harvest, this is sometime in September, October, so we don't see much of a change in soil pH. By adding a cover crop into the mix. Does it affect the soil EC? Few who work with high tunnels would also have observed the problem or the challenge with high tunnels that there's too much of salt buildup because of the use of fertilizers. So does the cover crop have any impact on the amount of salts in terms of the electrical conductivity in the soil? And we didn't find any difference. You can see the control plot. The EC remained at 0.2 decisiemens per meter, end and beginning and end, so no difference. Not much change in oilseed radish either, 0.3 to 0.4. If you look at yellow mustard, there is some reduction, but it was observed only 1 year. So there is some change, but we cannot completely attribute it to cover crop. Or in other words, we cannot say that cover crops are helping to reduce electrical conductivity or the salt buildup. We were also interested to evaluate how does the microbial biomass look like in the soil. So this was done using the chloroform fumigation extraction method, where you extract your soil with potassium sulfate and you run a TOC analysis and come up with the microbial biomass. This is microgram carbon per gram of soil. And no statistically significant difference at the end of the second year. So this is the second year data at the end. This is the control plot. We are looking at about 160, yellow mustard, 180, oilseed radish, somewhere in that range. So given the two-year time span, we did not find any difference in soil microbial biomass carbon. What about nematodes? This was another a focus of ours to see whether there are any changes in the nematode population in the soil. So between control, oilseed radish, yellow mustard, there were more bacterial feeding nematodes in the soil when you have yellow mustard. So in one way, it's good. You know, we all know that when we hear nematodes, we think it's bad, but the bacterial feeding nematodes are good because they help with cycling of the nutrient, especially nitrogen. So yellow mustard does help with increasing the population of the bacterial feeding nematodes as compared to the control. So that's a positive result here. And when it comes to tomato yield, again, we did not find any statistically significant difference. This is two-year data. We are looking at control, oilseed radish, yellow mustard, marketable fruits, the number of marketable fruits from 8 plants, and the same marketable weight. So about 29, 30 kilogram from 8 plants. So again, no difference between cover crops or the control plot for marketable yield. So in summary of what we get out of this experiment or what we learned from the study was extended period of cover cropping is needed. It's not just the 2 years. Again, this is only in the spring. These are short duration cover crop, about 45 to 50 day cover crop. Maybe you need to do it more to see some changes, more distinct changes. Crop rotation is necessary to break disease cycle. By no means we are recommending that adding a cover crop helps with crop rotation. It does help, but it's not the true crop rotation. And again, maybe adding a legume cover crop. Again, it could be a clover, it could be a hairy vetch. That would help, you know, with the nitrogen dynamics as well and add to the benefit. So I would like to thank all the grad students who have helped on this project, funding agencies, block grants from Iowa, Department of Ag, the grower organizations, and Michigan State. Fred Warner helped with the nematode analysis for us, so we sent in samples to their lab. So with that, I'll be more than happy to take a few questions.
One question?
Sure. Yes, Sanjan.
Hey, AJ, what's the gap between your cover cropping
The question is, what is the duration between termination of the cover crop and planting the cash crop, which is tomato? It's only 2 or 3 days, mostly it's like 2 days. So we flail mow, we incorporate, we lay the plastic. It's all happening the same day because we want to keep those isothiocyanates in the soil. We don't want them to escape. And so either the next day or the day after, we will come back and transplant.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.